We love you, God, so much. Thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity to be in your house and feel your Holy Spirit. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was a very close friend to Brother Mackey's father. Brother Ernest Mackey was such a great Bible teacher. Everything, every place he went, was talking to people about the Lord. He was on our district board, and he and I always sit side by side, and sometimes you have these moments in which you're not doing much, so we would share scripture. He always had some deep insight on some prophecy. Such a great man of God. I don't know of anyone that preaches more Bible than Brother Ernest Mackey did, other than maybe his son Jonathan. And one reason why that we like to have Jonathan here is because he preaches the word. And I really appreciate his ministry. He's been an evangelist now for 35, 36 years, maybe even longer. I told you this is his 78th time behind our pulpit. But I love this man. It's good to have his wife with him. We traveled in Europe 1 week or 2 weeks with the Mackeys. Never forget those days. Such great days. And we'd like for you to welcome him to our pulpit. God bless you, Brother Mackey. Welcome him, would you?
And praise the Lord, everybody. It's nice to be back in Madison, Wisconsin this morning and have Sister Mackey with us, and my wife will be speaking to you a little bit this evening. But it is nice to be in a church that believes in repentance, water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, a church that believes in receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. It's good to be in a church that opens up an altar after every service, because you do not get closer to the Lord standing in the vestibule talking to friends. You get closer to the Lord turning your back on the vestibule and coming to this altar and letting God touch your heart. The Bible says it is good to draw nigh unto the Lord. So it's good to come to an altar. It's good to raise your hands. It's good to call on the name of Jesus. It is good. And we have a wonderful promise from our God. He said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. So it's never a waste of time to come to an altar. And Sister Mackey and I so value our friendship with Brother and Sister Grant in this church. And I appreciate a man who is still consistent in doctrine and godly living. In my 37 years as an evangelist, I have preached for men that one time used to love truth and love the word of God, and now that has passed away from their own heart and spirit. And you can be thankful for a pastor that really believes what the word of God says. Amen. And doesn't change that. Hallelujah. And it's good to look out. It's been about 6 years since we have been here. It's good to look out and recognize a lot of familiar faces. And I'm glad you are still faithful to the work of God. I've said it here before, you soon discover you still get flat tires and mosquito bites after you get the Holy Ghost. You know, you still need, you know, some people are pillars in the church. Other people are caterpillars. You know, they just kind of crawl in and out every now and then. But it's good just to come in here and support the work of God. It's nice to see your superintendent, Brother Putnam, today. We're honored that he is here. But most of all, I'm honored that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. I'm glad he is here. If you are a guest or a visitor here today, I welcome you to this service. And I pray that the word of the Lord will be easy to understand, meaningful to you, and that your relationship with God would be enhanced because of this service. So let's open our Bibles while we stand for one more moment to the book of Genesis, chapter 8. the book of Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained." But that first phrase in verse 1 is a great blessing to the people of God. "And God remembered Noah." We're going to talk about a God who remembers. Let's pray, shall we? Jesus, one more time, we ask you to make the difference now, God. Help me to minister your word. Help us to receive it, because you know the spiritual condition and need of every individual that is in this house. God, for your glory, for your honor, we ask it. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. A God who remembers. When you look up the word remember in the dictionary, it simply says to bring back and present again to the mind or to the memory. And what's interesting about remembering and the memory is that sometimes it can be voluntary and other times it can be involuntary. Sometimes you can be driving down the road and suddenly you just remember something. And why it's there, you don't know. And other times you really try to remember something. And for the life of you, you just cannot remember it. One of the signs that you're getting a little bit elderly is that you can't remember. So you make a list of things you need to remember, but then you can't remember where you put the list. There is a serious disease called Alzheimer's disease. There's a very good pastor friend of mine whose wife is now in a nursing home, and he calls me every now and again with tears because he said, "Brother Mackey, we've been married over 50 years, and I go to see her, and she can't remember I'm her husband. She cannot remember we have three children. She cannot remember." And how sad that is. But I want everyone in this building this morning to know that we are serving a God who will never have Alzheimer's disease. We are serving a God who remembers. And the fact that God remembers is such a blessing and benefit to the people of God. Now, in Genesis chapter 8, of course, we read about Noah, and the story begins in chapter 6 where the earth is violent and corrupt, and the imagination of man was evil continually, and God's going to send judgment on the world, and the only way of escape is to get into the ark that Noah built. Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives come into the ark. And for 150 days, Noah was in that ark, you know, at the mercy of the flood until the ark rested. Now, I don't know how many times God spoke to Noah and how many times Noah spoke to God, but I'm sure there were times where Noah said, "Does God really know where I'm at?" This ark did not have a compass. It did not have a rudder. Folks, he was totally at the mercy of the wind and the mercy of the flood. But God brought Noah through it all. And I want everyone in this building to know God knows the circumstances in your life. He knows the circumstances in your marriage. He knows any sickness or illness that is in your body. He knows what difficulties and troubles you are having. But I want you to know that God remembers his people. And God wants to bring us through everything. Amen. In good condition. Amen. And still in a good relationship with him. Now, in Genesis chapter 19 in our Bibles, again, just a few scriptures in Genesis about God remembering his people. In Genesis chapter 19, all right, in verse 29, it says, "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." Now, again, God is judging sin, but it says that God remembered Abraham. Now, it's letting us know it is never a waste of time to pray for your father, for your mother, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your spouse. And the reason Lot was saved was not because something Lot did. The reason Lot was saved because God remembered Abraham. And every time I'm in a church, I wonder how many children are there because they had praying parents, or how many parents are there because they had praying children, how many grandchildren are there because they had praying grandparents. I would never stop praying for the backslider. Don't ever stop praying for the lost, because God remembers the prayers of his people. Now in Genesis chapter 30, again, for God remembering his people, Genesis chapter 30 and verses 22 and 23, it says, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach." Because in the Old Testament, it was indeed a reproach, a disgrace, and a humiliation not to be able to bear children. But Rachel prayed, all right, and God heard her and said, God has taken away my reproach. Now, this has come very close to Sister Mackie and myself, because Sister Mackie and I just have one daughter, and she was 8 years old when we started evangelizing, and she is 45 years old now. But when we took pictures of her early first days of evangelizing, our daughter, every picture we have of her, she's holding a baby or there's children around her. Whenever they needed someone to volunteer for nursery duty, my daughter would be the first to volunteer. When I was Sunday school director of Wisconsin District, when I was during the Wisconsin camp, when my daughter was 11 years old, I put her in charge of all the 4- and 5-year-olds that were on the Wisconsin campground. So she loves children. Now she's married. And she's been married about 2.5 years. And Sister Mackie and I traveled from Eau Claire over to Michigan to be with our daughter at Thanksgiving. And we could tell she was disgruntled and very unhappy. And when we leave that weekend, she lets us know. She said, "Mom and Daddy, it is biologically impossible for Kevin and I to have children." And I said, "Oh, Rebecca, I'm just so sorry about this. But we're going to pray." So when we went back the next year, and now they had started the adoption process, which is so, so very, very expensive. And so I said, "But Becky, we're still going to pray." Right after that, we go down to Argentina, and Sister Mackie and I are preaching the national convention in Argentina. There's about 7,000 people there, and it's the first night, and there's a Spanish pastor that is testifying, and he's excited, and he's pointing at me. So I asked Brother Crosley, "What is he saying?" And the man was saying, 10 years ago, Brother Mackie preached in Argentina, and my wife and I could not have children. And Brother Mackie prayed for us, and now we have 5, he said. All right. And he named his first son after me. All right. And then Brother Crosley leaned over to me and says, and Brother Crosley leaned over and said, "Now he wants you to pray that they won't have any more." Okay. But at the end of that, but on the last end of that conference, Brother Crosley tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Brother Mackie, look at this. There were 50 couples lined up over there that just wanted me to pray for them that they would have children." I'm not saying I'm gifted in this, but it has happened so many times over the past few years. It's just, well, it's been amazing. But and so right after that testimony, Sister Mackie and I are in downtown Buenos Aires while they had their business sessions in the afternoon in Spanish. And now, I have traveled in over 70 countries of the world, but the most beautiful baby clothes you'll ever find are in Buenos Aires, Argentina. So we're walking down this little shopping street, and Sister Mackie says, "I'm going to go buy some baby clothes by faith." All right. I said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." So she goes in and buys one outfit for a little girl and one outfit for a little boy. And I said, "Judy." She said, "No." I said, "All right." That man's testimony has inspired me, you know. So we buy the baby clothes and we go home from Argentina. And about 3 months after we're home, the phone rings and my daughter says, she's in tears. She said, "Mom and Dad, I'm going to have a baby." Amen. And our granddaughter was born, you know. And the doctor says, "This is impossible." But 20 months later, my grandson was born. Hallelujah. The doctor said, "You cannot happen this." I want you to know, folks, amen, God remembers his people. God knows what we need. And God's going to be there in the most dire of circumstances. Because God remembers. Now let's look at the book of Exodus, chapter 2 in our Bibles. Exodus chapter 2. Beginning with verse 23, "And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard the groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now, the story begins when the children of Israel come to Egypt because of a famine. Joseph had already been sold to Egypt. But now, Joseph is in a place of power and authority in Egypt. And they come there during the 7 years. All right. But after the 7 years was over, it was not the will of God that they stay in Egypt. It was the will of God that they go back to the land that God had given Abram. They were in Egypt for 430 years. Now Joseph died, and the rulers that knew Joseph died, and the Egyptians made the Jews their slaves. So for 430 years they are in Egypt, all right? And now they begin to cry to God because of the reason of their bondage. But God remembered his covenant, his promise, his agreement with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God sent Moses with the plagues, and he broke the back of the Egyptian empire, because not only does God remember his people, God remembers his word. Heaven's going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. The grass is going to wither and the flower is going to fade. But the word of the Lord will never, never, never pass away. Now let's look at Psalm 105 and verse 8. Psalm 105 and verse 8. Now, have you ever had anyone promise you that they were going to do something, and then they just don't remember, you know, that they said that they were going to do it? But look at verse 8. God hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. So depending what individual you talk to, a generation is anywhere from 30 to 70 years. So when it says God remembers his covenant for a thousand generations, that could be for 70,000 years, because God cannot lie. Now, Sister Mac and I, on our very first missions trip to London, England in 1977. Foreign missions told me how much money I needed to raise, because they said churches in England, you know, they can support you. They'll buy you some meals, give you an offering, and so forth. But we got to London, and no one helped us. No one took us out to eat. No one, you know, picked us up for church. And we were going to be there for 3 weeks. And after 3 days, I knew we were not going to have enough money to make it. So we stayed in the Hansel and Gretel guest house, where they turned off the heat every night, and they gave you clean towels every 5 days. All right, it was so bad that we kept milk and cereal on the windowsill, because it was the month of February. So we every morning we had a little bowl of cereal, and at lunch we'd have a little bowl of soup, and maybe split a meat sandwich, and at supper, we'd have a little bowl of rice or something, because I just wanted us to have enough food, you know, to make it, you know, through 3 weeks. Now, after 8 days of this, I said to my wife and daughter, I said, listen, we need to have a decent meal here. So we went to a Chinese restaurant. Now, Chinese food doesn't last very long, but at least it tastes good for the moment, you know. All right. So we walk into this Chinese restaurant, and there's two people sitting there. When we come in, that look apostolic. You know that look? You look at them, they look at you, and so then we go, but that's all it was. So I go and sit down, and I said, Judy, I said, I just think those people might be Pentecostal. So I go over and talk to them, and I said, sir, I just happened to see you, and I said, I just thought I would come and ask you if you're Pentecostal. He said, absolutely. He said, apostolic. He said, absolutely. And he's over there setting up a factory for his business. And then he said, but I'm not sure where there's any apostolic churches in town. So I gave him my preaching itinerary, and he came to three services. But on the way out of the Chinese restaurant, he stops by and he says, no, Brother Mackey, he said, I'm staying at the Penta Hotel. Now, the Penta is where the Arabs sheikhs stay at in London for $500 a night. All right. So he said, we have a nice breakfast buffet. He said, I'd like to treat you and your wife and daughter to this breakfast buffet. I said, that would be very nice. And so 2 days later, we took the taxi and went to the Penta, and we walk into this huge room, and there's a breakfast buffet as long as the sanctuary, with eggs and bacon and fruit. And my daughter says, thank you, Jesus, you know. So So then I'm preaching in the south, and I cross paths with this man again. I'm preaching in the northwest, I cross paths with this man again. I'm preaching in the Midwest, and I cross paths with him again. So we've now known each other for over 20 years. So the last time I preached at the church where he was at, he takes me out to eat, and he says, "Brother Mackey, listen, there's going to be a lawsuit in my company, and I'm going to get a lot of money, a lot," he emphasized. He said, "Do you have a laptop computer?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "When I get the settlement," he said, "I'm going to buy you and Sister Mackey the best laptop computer on the market." I said, "Listen, if you feel ready to do that," I said, "it would be a blessing." So I go to the same church a year and a half later, and he picks me up. He said, "Brother Mackey, I got it." He said, "You cannot believe how much money I've got." He said, "Your favorite meal is steak, right?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Come on, I'm going to buy you the best steak in town." But it was already 5:30, and I was preaching at 7. He says, "Come on, Brother Mackey, get a..." I said, "No, really, sir." I said, "But this is kind." And then he picked me up in his brand new Lincoln. His wife had a brand new Lincoln. He's telling me how he paid $390,000 cash for a brand new home. And he's talking about all these things, and I'm waiting. Yes, yes. He never mentioned the laptop computer once, and he still hasn't mentioned it to me. But so next time a saint says that to me, I'm going to say, "Would you put that in writing, please?" But I want you to know, God has put it in writing. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I want you to know, folks, if there's sin in your life today and you come to this altar and repent, he has promised to forgive you. When you are baptized in the name of Jesus, he has promised to take all your sins away. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you've never spoken with other tongues, this promise is unto you and unto your children, to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That is why when I pray with people around the altar, know what? I'm quoting the word of God to them. Amen. This promise is unto you. Amen. The promise of the Holy Ghost. That is why sometimes when we pray, we will get on our knees and we'll pray. Now, God, you said in your word. Now, folks, God doesn't have to be reminded. We need to be reminded. But he remembers his covenant for 1,000 generations. Oh, let's clap our hands for his promises. Amen, amen, amen. So God remembers his people and God remembers his word. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Now, obviously, in churches, some people have a higher profile than other people. There are many people in this congregation, you'll never sit in this pulpit, you'll never stand in this pulpit, you'll never be up here at a mic singing with the choir, with the chorale. But you know what? If you're walking across the parking lot and you see a gum wrapper laying, you know, on the driveway, and you said, "This is God's house," and you pick it up and throw it away, Brother Grant doesn't see it, Sister Grant doesn't see it, but God sees it. And you do it, amen, to minister unto God. And the Bible lets us know, folks, that no matter what you do, God is not unrighteous to forget that. Because there are things you're going to do for God that no one else sees but God. The woman with the alabaster box in the Bible, Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, this is going to be spoken of. And you know what? Amen. We still sing songs about the alabaster box in the year 2011. Because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love which you minister unto him. I remember preaching down in Ecuador. They have a beautiful church building there. And the United States probably paid for 99% of it. But the Ecuadorian saints were giving money. And this one woman pledged 6 months' worth of money to them, because the average Ecuadorian only makes about $30 a month. So she pledged over $150 toward the building fund. She had no job, but she makes little cookies, little pieces of candy, and she stands on the street corner and selling this candy for a penny or two a piece. But every time she did it, she witnessed and handed out tracts. Because of this woman, 104 people came to church, were baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, folks, She'll never speak at general conference. We don't even know her name. But every now and then she'd get on in the aisle with a tambourine and dance her dance while she was worshiping God. No one knows this, but God knows it. And I encourage every man and woman, don't stop doing something because someone doesn't notice. There's a God, amen, who is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love that you give unto him. Now let's look at Psalm 103 in our Bibles. Psalm 103. Because God remembers his people. God remembers his word. God remembers how we minister unto him. And then it says in Psalm 103 and verse 14, it says, he knoweth our frame, our personality, our makeup. All right, that, and he remembereth, he constantly remembers that we are dust. In case you don't know it, when God created man, he just picked up a little bit of dirt, breathed into it, and man became a living soul. That's why the Bible says, if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. Because if we compare ourselves among ourselves, it's like comparing dust to dust. You ladies clean the house, here's a little bit of refrigerator dust, here's a little bit of piano dust, and here's a little bit of under the bed dust. Oh, this is so exciting. Refrigerator dust, piano dust, and under the bed dust. Do you know how stupid that is? Every one of us is frail. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You can show someone a huge piece of white poster board with one little speck on it, and they say, now what do you see? Boy, we see that little speck. They don't see all the white. Every one of us here has an eraser on our pencil, white out on our desk, a delete button on our computer, because we all make mistakes. But God knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. Now, my last name is Mackie, which is a Finnish name. Now, Finnish people are very clannish, and they are very, very, very quiet. I have uncles that I've known for 30 years, and I've never heard them say a complete sentence. Okay, they just grunt now and then. All right, but I'm also half Swedish. Do you understand? When they had the Olympics in Norway some years ago, they had to have smiling classes for the Norwegians because they said the whole world is watching us. We need to smile. Now. Really, I am a very quiet guy because I am Finnish. But in the pulpit, I have to talk. Okay, so I'm up here. But I was preaching at a church down in Chicago Heights, Illinois, and there were some Finnish people there. All right. But they had my name misspelled on the bulletin and on the church sign. They had my name spelled Mackey instead of Maki. So when I get them preaching, they would just get up and leave, you know. So one night I said, now, folks, you're spelling my name wrong on the tape ministry and so forth. My name is Maki. It's a Finnish name. And suddenly those Finnish people were coming to the altar every night seeking God and praying. They had me over for dinner. They made me Finnish bread. They were so nice to me. I said, you should do that because you're a Christian. Not because I'm Finnish. But see, God knows our frame. Folks, sometimes all of us have our little idiosyncrasies, right? Sometimes there's some, I don't know if weird is too strong of a word or not, but folks, we have different personalities in this church. But do you know what? God knows our weaknesses. God knows our strengths. But if someone stumbles and falls, don't ever say, boy, I knew he would never make it. Oh, listen, folks, someone's got to stop and give a hand and say, come on, let's get up. Let's keep living for God. Because if I ever fall, I want someone to have mercy on me. Hallelujah. I was preaching for a man down in Arkansas. He said, Brother Mackey, I just got to counsel this man for about 5 minutes, so you go sit in the car. So I sat in the car, turned it on, and was a little bit chilly. I sat in the car for 45 minutes. So the pastor gets in the car, and he's really upset. He didn't tell me what the problem was, but he said, Brother Mackey, if that guy does that one more time, he's history. I said, boy, I'm so glad God never said that to me. You know, I don't know if God has a three strikes or out policy or not. All right, let's look at Psalm 78 for a moment. Psalm 78, all right, verse 36. Psalm 78 and verse 36, it says this. Psalm 78 and verse 36, it says, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. I wonder if we've ever done that. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in this covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquities and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. I'm so glad that his compassion and his mercy is renewed every morning. And when we are saved, it's going to be because of the grace and the mercy and the compassion of Almighty God. God remembers that we are dust. So God remembers his people, and God remembers his word. God remembers how we minister unto him, and God remembers that we are dust. But the fact that God remembers is a blessing to the child of God, but it's not a blessing to the sinner. Let's look at the book of Hosea, chapter 9 and verse 9. Hosea, chapter 9 and verse 9. It says this. It says, they have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sin. The Bible talks about the wicked, how the wicked flaunts himself against God. The wicked says, he that made the eye, can he see? He that made the ear, can he hear? But I want everyone in this building to know that God, the God that made the eye, sees, and the God that made the ear hears. God hears every curse word. God sees every rape. God sees every murder. God hears every lie. And because the wheels of God's judgment move so slowly, people think they're going to get away with it. But I want you to know, folks, that our God, he's going to remember iniquity and he's going to visit sins. Because if this was not true, then other scriptures would not be true. Such as, you know, the way of the transgressor is hard. How about be not deceived? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, of the spirit you're going to reap life everlasting. That's why it's so good to have a church where you can come to this altar and say, I'm going to sow to the spirit of God now. I want the word of God to penetrate my heart, my mind, and my understanding. Because God is going to remember iniquity and God's going to visit sin. John saw a great white throne, and folks, and the small and great stood before the great white throne. We're talking Adolf Hitler. We're talking Alexander Graham Bell. We're talking John F. Kennedy. We're talking Abraham Lincoln. And do you know what? And there might be some people in this building this morning that refuse to come to an altar and acknowledge your need of God and refuse to humble yourselves and ever bend a knee. But I want you to know, in that day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is why you are so blessed to be in a church today where you can come to an altar and say, God, I do not want sin. Forgive me, Lord. Amen. And everything's going to be all right with God. Amen. I was reading one time where you can now touch a certain part of the brain. There was a time when they realized that babies could remember things when they were like 3 or 4 months old. But now you can touch a certain part of the brain and people can remember what happened when they were just even in the womb, infants. Now, the pro football has instant replay. You know, if they check it and they check it and they check it. And do you know what? There's going to be some people that stand before God and say, God, no, that wasn't me. It was somebody else. I can see God just touching that certain part of your brain. And you talk about instant replay, it's going to be right there. And folks, and there's going to be shame, amen, and conviction because of your sin. Because the God who remembers is a blessing to the Christian. But the God who remembers, folks, is not a blessing to the sinner. Because God's going to remember iniquity and God is going to visit sins. So this God who remembers, he remembers, is also a God who does not remember. How can that be? Because with God, all things are possible. Let's look, turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah, chapter 43. All right, in verse 25, God says, I am he that blotteth off thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. God says, I will not remember sin. God gave us a huge visual aid lesson in the Old Testament when the death angel is going to pass over Egypt. And God says, you put the blood on the doorpost of your house. And God says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So when these Jews took the blood and put it on the doorpost of their house, folks, even though the firstborn of all of Egypt died, folks, not with the Jews, because God saw the blood and judgment passed over them. Folks, this was fulfilled at Calvary. I want everyone in this building to know, folks, Jesus dying on the cross is not a fairy tale. It's not a figment of some man's imagination. Amen. But they took Jesus and they beat him more than any man was ever beaten. Amen. Isaiah, one translation for Isaiah 53 said he was beaten so much his face was so swollen that you could not distinguish the cheekbones from the nose or the chin from the lips. And a band of soldiers would smite Jesus, hit him in the head and the stomach and the groin and the back and the kidneys. And do you know what? Blood came from his nose and blood came from his mouth and blood came from his ears. They put the crown of thorns on his head and more blood flowed from his head. Folks, they put stripes on his back and more blood came. They put nails in his hands and his feet and more blood came. They put the spear into his side and even more blood came. Do you know why? Because the blood of bulls and goats has no power to take away sin. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You think gold is precious? Silver is precious? Oil is precious? The blood of Jesus is precious. Precious. Now, the book of Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. The book of Micah chapter 7 and verse 19 says this. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. The depths of the sea. Now, in case you don't know it, 70% of this world is water. If you took all the continents and all the landmass and put it together, there would be 18 million square miles of ocean left over. The deepest place in the ocean is right off the island of Guam, 36,198 feet deep. The pressure there is 7 tons per square inch. 36,198 feet deep. You can take 27 Empire State Buildings and put them one on top of another. And if you've ever been on top of the Empire State Building and look down, folks, the people are this big. 27 of them, one on top of the other, and there's still 600 feet of water on top of that. You can put Mount Everest off the island of Guam, and there's a mile of water above that. When they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. When you get in water and you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that blood that Jesus shed for me way back at Calvary, he will never lose his power. And now you are covered and you are washed. Now, Lord, I don't know what you did with my sin, but don't put him in the little pond over here in the golf course. Okay, really. I'm going to take my sin and cast them into the depths of the sea, 36,198 feet deep, where they will never surface again. And God says, I don't remember. Because you can be up here testifying, you can be teaching a Sunday school class, you can be singing in the choir, and know what? The devil will bring back something that you did when you were 14, when you were 24, what you did, you know, just 3 months ago. And right away there's condemnation, and you're saying, oh, and the devil's saying, you have no right to be up here singing. You have no right to teach this class. Who do you think you are anyway? And you feel so conviction, and so much conviction, and you leave, and you get on your knees and say, God, I'm so sorry for this. And God says, I don't even know what you're talking about, because God does not remember your sin anymore. Hallelujah. There are individuals in this world that are on pills. They're going to psychiatrists and psychologists because of their conscience, because of what they've done. But I want you folks to know, I don't care what the habits are, what the sin is, how you live when you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. God does not remember it anymore. I was preaching in Columbus, Ohio, And the preacher's son, 10 years old, brought his 10-year-old buddy to church. So all the kids go downstairs when I'm preaching. And then after the service, I'm on the platform talking with people. And this pastor's son is giving his son, his buddy, the royal tour of the church. You know, here's the sanctuary and so forth. And they come up on the platform where the baptistry is. Now, I'm embarrassed to say this baptistry was the filthiest I'd ever seen in my entire life. They did not have a water purifier in there. I mean, there was about a quarter inch of green black scum on top of this water. Okay. I mean, it was embarrassing. So I'm talking, and they're looking into the baptistry, and the pastor's son said, this is where we baptize people in Jesus' name to have their sins taken away. And I turned around, and I saw this 10-year-old kid looking at this water. And the little boy said, why is the water so dirty? And the pastor's son said, those are all the sins. But I want you to know, folks, God's going to take your sin and cast them into the depths of the sea. I want you to remember that God remembers. But I also want you to remember that he does not remember. Let's stand and clap our hands for the Lord right now, shall we?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. So we have to open up an altar today. Because God remembers. And we have to open up an altar today because God does not remember. And I know Brother Grant said, you know, for individuals that need healing for their body and circumstances in their life to come on this side of the altar. And people just that are going through storms and circumstances in their life come in the middle. Individuals that have never repented of sin. You've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. You've never been baptized in Jesus' name. Do you want your sins washed away? Do you want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Folks, God knows where you are and God knows the circumstances in your life. Amen. And for individuals here whose sins are cast into the depths, don't ever take it for granted. Say, thank you, Lord, that you do not remember this sin. So we're going to sing this old chorus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if you have a spiritual need, a physical need, we encourage you to come to this altar. If you need the Holy Ghost, this promise is unto you. If you still have sin in your life, God wants you, amen, to be baptized in his precious name and have all your sins washed away. This altar is open right now.